Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. This morning, we'll be talking about a very special Mother's Day topic. Every May, we celebrate Mother's Day. On this special day, we give everybody the opportunity to honor their respective moms and someone who loved them very much to tell them how thankful we are to be in our lives. Although the title of and role of mothers are traditionally held by women through either by birth rights or adoption, there's a small group of men all over the world that has either by choice or by necessity has assumed the role of being a mother to their children. Now, this man gallantly provides the daily unconditional love needed by the household, and I know that they do their best in nurturing, being as nurturing as they can as a teacher, a coach, a counselor for their children. Although I'm not one of them, writing my book From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living, gave me an opportunity to reflect back upon the various moments that I've spent with my mom, and I certainly understand what my nine moms went through with their children, and certainly at the level of communication I had with them, certainly with me, during those wonderful, challenging and yet rewarding times, having the wonderful conversation with them, talking about life in general. Please join me this morning to and my special guest to talk about this wonderful new role that men has somehow embraced in the 21st century for sure, and have a frank conversation about stepping up to the plate to meet the challenges and at the same time, to me, enjoying the rewards of being the real Mr. Mom. Please call 347-327-9995 to join us live on the air with your questions and your stories. My guest is David Perelin, who is currently a Mr. Mom and has been doing it for the last 6 years. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Johnny. I appreciate it.
And a little bit about David. David and his wife moved to Arlington after his wife's company in Corpus Christi was bought out and closed. And he said that they could not survive with his photojournalist salary, and he had worked at the caller times for 7 years, and is also a full-time photojournalist for 10 years. After they settled, they decided that he wouldn't apply for the local paper's job and that he would just become a full-time freelance photographer and stay at home with the kids. And currently, that has been his life for the last 6 years, and he's been married to his wife, Maggie, for 19 years, and you guys are actually celebrating your 19th anniversary today, correct?
That's right, and it's Margie, not Maggie, Margie.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Margie, if you're hearing us right now, I apologize.
Maggie, I'm in a lot of trouble.
That's right. It's not Maggie. It is
Margie
that you're married to. I'm so sorry. This is
okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, we did remember this morning that it was 19 years. So
19 years. That's fantastic. I think in this day and age, sometimes to cross 10 years is a milestone, and for you guys have done 19 years. That's fantastic, and you guys do have three wonderful children: Jordan 12, Haley 9, and Jake at 6. Mm-hmm. And according to you right here, you do about 95% of the cooking.
That's about right.
And David is also have earned his Bachelor's of Arts in Communication from University of Arlington, Texas. And then my second guest, I'd like to welcome my second guest this morning. I'm all over the place this morning. I think I'm intimidated by you guys, you know, being a Mr. Mom, and you know, so it's like, oh my God, you know, like, what's going on here with me, you know. So, but anyway, my second guest is Tyrone Johnson. Tyrone, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great this morning. Just great.
Great, great, wonderful. Tyrone, meet David. David,
hi.
Tyrone.
How you doing, David?
Great. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good to hear you too, man.
Good. Tyrone is currently the worship pastor at Chase Oak Church in Plano, and Tyrone is no longer Mr. Mom. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but
We grew out of it after a while. You know, they don't need us as much anymore. They get old.
I'm just teasing you on that, Tyrone. But he was a Mr. Mom for 4 years, and he's got quite a compelling story to tell too. Because it was interesting that I believe you were Mr. Mom for a couple of twins.
Yeah.
So that's quite challenging itself. I tell you what, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. So that's actually 8 years.
Okay, thank you. I feel now that makes sense to me. That makes plenty of sense to me.
Yeah, you see,
twice the work.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You double up. But anyway, a little bit more about Tyrone right here. Before that, he led worship at Park City Baptist Church at Holland Park and United Methodist Church both at the same time for about 5 to 6 years simultaneously. Tyrone also has a bachelor's degree in accounting from Dillard University in New Orleans and has worked in the accounting field for several years. And then in 1990, he left the accounting world to do some studio work on radio commercials as well as background vocal recording.
Yeah.
And when he and his wife decided to have children, it was just logical for one of them to stay home, and I guess you lost the straw poll, huh?
Oh, no, well, you know what? It really wasn't a straw poll because she was the one making, like, the steady income.
I understand that. I was just teasing you about that.
Oh, yeah. I probably would have lost the poll anyway, so, you know.
Guys, welcome to the show, and this morning, as I mentioned, you know, we're talking about acknowledging the forgotten moms. The real Mr. Mom on the air right here. So I have some questions for you guys real quick right here. Let's start with David for you real quick. Tell me again, why did you decide to become Mr. Mom?
Well, it wasn't really that hard to decide. I mean, we when we came up here 6 years ago, you know, I had considered applying at the newspapers. Dallas Morning News, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and I decided not to do that and just work as a freelance photographer for Associated Press and now the Dallas Business Journal and a couple other places. Now, I can't say it was an easy decision, but, you know, the kids were very young. I had three kids at the time, and my youngest, Jake, was just barely, wasn't even a year old when we moved here. Jordan had started school in kindergarten, Corpus Christi, and my wife was able to stay home for a while after her office closed down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we felt we really wanted to do. We felt like we were being guided by the Lord to do it. And now that we were moving here and she got a nice job with a much better salary than I could ever expect to do in the photojournalism world. And like I said, that wasn't a hard decision to make after that, that we would do it. I could stay home. I would be getting the kids to school and back and trying to fit my freelance work somehow in between. And we just trusted the Lord that it would work out, and it has for the last 6 years.
Fantastic.
And now it seems like it was an obvious choice and easy, but you know, at the time, it really wasn't. It was something like, I've been working full-time for 10 years at newspapers, a long-time freelancer before that, and when I was a student and when I was in high school. It just seemed strange to me, you know, that I'd be giving up my awful schedule at the newspapers, working weekends and nights and all these crazy hours. What a terrible thing to do.
See, Tyrone's laughing about that.
It's funny because I know exactly.
When I worked at the newspaper in Corpus Christi, it's just the nature of the business. I was called in to cover hurricanes and natural disasters of all kinds and pulled off weekends. And one example is my parents were visiting down there in Fort Aransas, and it was my dad's birthday. And I made the mistake of answering my phone on a
phone.
Oh, no. Oh,
and
man.
It was the Sunday that they started bombing Afghanistan in 2001.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure exactly when they started, but I think it was late 2001. And I made the mistake of answering my phone, and I had to go in downtown to this control center where they were monitoring city functions or something. They thought maybe
that's
there was
right.
a terrorist attack of some sort, who knows, or some sort of response.
Right.
And so I went in, I missed my dad's birthday party, you know, and I was like, this is crazy. Why did I even, don't answer the phone.
Don't do it.
Then there are a couple other examples, real simple ones, where They asked me to go to the hurricane, Hurricane Lily. So this was 2002.
Yeah.
And it was in Louisiana. And actually, it was in Texas first. And they said, "Oh, you can make. You can go out there. You only take a couple days." And I said, "Well, I have friends visiting from Dallas this weekend. I can be back in time." Of course,
right.
I wasn't. The hurricane kept going east. We kept going east, and then I landed up getting back in time to see them on the last day they were visiting. But
man.
But it's just one of those things, you know. And my friend Brad understood that because he works for a newspaper industry too as a photographer. But you know, those things got really. I mean, it was exciting to shoot some of these things and do some of these things, but I think that this is really my place to be here for my family.
I understand that.
That's cool.
How about you, Tyrone? What's your story? How did you guys decide to do this?
You know, I moved here. I moved here to New Orleans in 1990. My wife and I, we've been married, I think, 18 years.
Oh, congratulations.
And, yeah.
Wait a minute. You got to be sure.
Well, see, don't put pressure on me. Hold on, wait a minute. David, when I heard you say, okay, I started writing down the years and trying to add
there
up the
chat.
Let me see. We got married in 91. This is 2009. So 18. I think I'm going to stick with that right now.
Okay. And you guys need to help me out with this. Now. I'm still single, so you guys got to give me some pointers here, okay? I'm making sure I get my story right.
Johnny, maybe that's for another show.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I moved in 1990, worked in accounting for a while, and then my wife always knew that my passion was music. So she said, honey, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just leave and just spend time doing your music? So that's when I started doing the studio stuff and, you know, doing everything on the side and leading worship on the weekends. And then we started talking. We were married 10 years before we decided to have kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So then she was like, well, you know, well, what about having a family? And then the first thing to me, it was interesting because I never really wanted to have kids because I didn't want to bring my kids up in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got this, I would refuse to raise kids up in this world. No, you know, like I'm going to control all of that. Who am I supposed to be?
Yeah.
So, the more we talked about it, and then, I mean, she had a great job, and of course, I'm kind of with you, made way more money than I did. And I was like, you know what, honey? I said, well, you know, I'll stay home. I'll stay home with the kids. That's and it's like when you decide to do that, it's almost like you kind of say to yourself, okay, this is going to take A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right.
You know, and you almost go all the way to Q just in case, even if it doesn't get to Q, you want to kind of prepare yourself for Q.
Okay.
You know, so you kind of just go. So the kids came, and it was great for like the first week having twins because her mom was here and my mom. You know, we had help. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The first night, both parents went home.
Mm-hmm.
They were up crying all night. They were crying. We were crying. The whole house was just
See, you have the opportunity to be there when your first child was born. So in other words, it's. You're literally talking about a baby.
Oh yeah! Oh
yeah!
Oh
yeah!
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, from
yeah.
square one. I mean, in the room and holding
yeah.
both of them when they came
man.
Out. So, you know, and my wife would sleep, and I would be the one getting up. And
right.
by being twins, you see, you really don't figure it out until later.
Right.
So by being twins, I would get up and give one a bottle. And I'm telling you, as soon as I would put my head on the pillow, the other would cry. So I would get up, and all night long that was my routine. So one
right.
night, yeah, after about a couple of weeks. I said, I'm going to get the other one up, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I got both
yeah.
of them up, and
yeah.
one didn't drink a whole bottle, but the one
right.
did.
Right.
And, but at least I kind of got them on the same schedule. And then it clicked to me, get them on the same schedule.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, that. So people would get the diapers changed when they didn't need them. It didn't matter. We were going to do it one time and be done, you know. So, and then it just became kind of cool, you know, because I took them everywhere. We went everywhere. I mean, you kind of know the nap routine, so get up,
right.
we'll run to the store, come back home, take a nap, go out again, and then come, you know, you got to
right.
work in between those windows. Man,
right.
it was one of the coolest things. And everybody watched them grow up. We used to go to Sam's all the time. Sam's watched the kids grow up. Whole
right.
Foods watched it, and they still know them to this day. Are those the twins? Oh, my goodness, it's so you know, but, you know, and
right.
I never forget one night my daughter woke up crying, and I was looking at her, and she was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her, and I said, well, sweetie, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And I said to myself, she doesn't know. I was like, she doesn't know. I said, so
right.
how can I, you know, and
right.
it kind of changed when I was like, that's why we're here. You know, that's why we're here. Cause she doesn't know. So it kind of changed the whole aspect of it. And when people would see me out with the twins and they would say, oh, there's yours. I say, yes. I say, oh, it must be hard. I say, oh, no. Mm-hmm. It's a joy. Mm-hmm. And I think people's perspective can warp the way you view what you're doing.
Right.
You know, because taking care of them, we always had fun. They always let, we always play. We had a great time. And I can let people that would see us out change that perspective of me having a great time with my kids to where it's, oh, it's just so much work. But I never looked at it as that.
I see.
I just looked at it as opportunity, just another opportunity. So it was cool.
Well, let me ask you guys this, though. When you guys decide to do this, how does your family members take it? I guess I'm strictly focusing here on your parents, if they're still around. How do they take that first, and then your male friends? How do they look at that? Let's start with you, David.
Okay. Yeah. Well, actually, there was a couple. Well, my parents are very supportive, and my wife's mom and stepdad and father were very supportive. I never heard anything negative from anyone. The only thing I was really concerned about is that I'd be able to handle this. I thought I was very good with the kids to that point. I mean, you know, the youngest was almost a year. I always felt like I was there for them, except, you know, in these situations where work got kind of crazy. I had strange days off. So a couple of my shifts, I was off Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I was able to be with the kids instead of having them in daycare on those days. They would be home with me, which was great, you know. And then, so that was a plus. But, you know, the main thing is, like, when I started working and doing my freelance, I had some help from one of the editors at the newspaper I was working at. I told her, you know, I'm home with the kids. Mm-hmm. How can I shoot these business assignments during the day? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, just call whoever you're taking a picture of and make sure it's okay with them to take the kids. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. One's in school, I have the other two. But then I'm like, you're serious? I'm going to take, let's see, at that time would have been a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Wow.
On a shoot?
Right.
Are you kidding?
And you're wrangling them the whole time. I can see you. Hold on. Wait right there.
That's what I got to say. That's what strapping kids in a stroller will do.
There you go.
You know, I have a 2-seater stroller.
There you go.
And one of the best things I ever did was get a little video player. Okay. Well, a portable video player. But, you know, what was great is I'd go on these shoots, and these big-time CEOs I'd be shooting would be talking to me and say that, you know, I think it's wonderful. I mean, I wish I could have spent this kind of time with my kid when they were that age. And I was just overwhelmed with the positive feedback from people.
Yep.
You know, from my own family and from these, you know, people I, you know, meeting for the first time on a day like that, that said, you know, my kid's 16 now, and I hardly ever, you know, I never had this kind of time, and I wish I could have done these things. And I feel like I just feel so blessed that I'm able to do it. Now, I'm not saying every single assignment we went on, it was easy.
No, it wasn't.
But, you know, out of probably 50 shoots that I went on with them, maybe 75 at the most, and I still go on shoots with them now coming up in the summertime when we go on.
Wow.
Nice.
You know, and but they've been all positive, you know.
Right.
And I've always tried to find somebody, if they're having a bad day, you know, kids have bad days sometimes, to find somebody just to keep an eye on them for a little bit so I get my 5 minutes.
Right.
All I need to shoot this, you know. You'd be surprised at how quick you can shoot when your kids are with you. Yes. And how creative you can be at the last minute to get that picture taken. So, but, yeah, it's been a very positive experience for me. Good feedback. I've got had friends of mine that wish they could do this, and and like I said, I just tell them I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Right.
And continue doing it, and now I feel like I'm even the blessings are even coming on stronger now because my kids are in school and I can shoot most of my things during the day now without the kids. Hey,
You know? So you had a good transition into it.
But I say I miss it though when they're not there sometimes. They're used to turning and seeing them. And, you know, they assist on these shoots, too. We may get to that later if we have time. But it can be a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's been a really good experience for me, positive feedback from family. And it's been great. It really has.
Well, Tyron, how about you? How did your family take it?
You know, it was when I was the oldest of coming up when my sister and brother and I, we were in junior high school. So I would get up in the morning and fix us breakfast and, you know, get us ready to catch the bus. So I kind of always did what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know saying this, I can speak for David. I mean, that time with your kids, we wouldn't trade for the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, is there something about hanging out with the kids, even on the days that may not be good days? Is there something about watching them come through that and just
right.
growing up? Because mine is seven now, and when they got to, I mean, they're about to go into second grade. Even when they were four, and the next year they were going to be in kindergarten, and I started working here full time. I mean, the first week, it was hard on me because I missed them so much. I just missed, you know, I missed our mornings, I just missed our time, you know,
right,
that would be,
right.
We kind of, you know, because you got a cooler routine and you
right.
you do it and you throw a little fun stuff in there, and then we didn't have that. And I mean, for the first week, I think I came to work, I cried because I missed hanging out with my kids, you know.
Right, right.
But, you know, and the other thing that's so cool about that, as they get older,
yeah,
they remember that.
That's good.
They remember all those little things in those times that you would think they would not even,
right.
you know, you would think, you were too young, and they remember that stuff, and
right.
you just, there's a bond that, you know, that you just can't explain. It is one of the coolest bonds, you know.
Is there a manual out there to help you guys out? How about you, Tyron, especially in your case, you cut it out. You know,
No. How do you say, learn on a job training?
Learning on the
yeah.
job.
Oh, yeah, it's on the job. Well, because, you know, I never read any books, anything, but I always said to myself, I wanted to be the dad to my kids that I would want to have if I was their age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what would I want my dad to do? You know, and so I always wanted to be, even when they were home and they were small, like 3-4 months, and they were in the bouncy seats and,
right.
I would be exercising, and I would, like, get in front of them and kind of do stuff in front of them and kind of make them laugh and smile at the same time. You know, so
right, right.
in everything, I think where some people may put an unnecessary challenge on themselves, they start thinking of, okay, how can I do this without the kids? And like David was saying, just you put them in your life. You don't build your life around them. You incorporate them into what you're doing.
Right.
And then that kind of, you know, and that kind of makes them, you know, it just makes everything easier, because
you
if you
they have a sense of greater appreciation when you do that, and
oh,
understanding you know what you're doing. And
oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. I know they do, and I know Dave. It's so funny when he said taking them out and people seeing you, and people would see you, and they, especially if it's the middle of the day, you know, when it's daytime and they see a dad with the child, especially if it's a regular place you go to, after a while they kind of pick it up like, okay, he must be home with the kids. You know, because they see, yeah, you know, they see you the first time, they may think, okay, maybe the child is sick and he stayed
right,
home. But then after several times, they're like, okay, maybe this is a regular thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I had a couple people ask, do you stay home with him? I say, yeah. They say, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I say, yeah, it's very cool.
Well, you just tell them and say you won Powerball last week.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's no need to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I was so blessed that my wife,
uh-huh.
She was always, you know, I mean, to me, because I could have said, you know what, honey, I want to stay home. She said, no, I'm going to stay home, so you go find a job so I can stay home.
Right.
You know, but she was like, no, baby, that's fine. And then so, like, the same thing with David's wife. She's like, they trust us enough to.
Right.
To be, you know, because some wives can be, no, this is my thing to do.
Right.
But it's not a one-person thing. It's you both
right.
do it. You know, it doesn't matter what side of the equation you're on. It's you know, it's done by both. So it was cool.
Did you get a lot of slack from your male friends?
Not really. You know, you know what? Honestly, I think male friends, I think they kind of realize, man, that's, I don't know if I want to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, so they kind of have a different kind of respect for you too.
Okay.
To be home with the kids, or to be
yeah.
their you know, their main source of someone taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
That's pretty interesting. Hey, did you guys watch Mr. Mom, by the way, with Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the 120, 220, whatever it takes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that. What you put in there? Yeah, 110, 220. You know, whatever,
oh,
whatever
yeah,
works. You know, whatever. And every time I see that, I just laugh. I think that's funny.
That's funny though.
But it's, I mean, that what he did in that movie. I mean, I can't say I have similar stories, but you know, I've got messes to clean up, and you know, and there has been a day was similar to his day. Where I had maintenance people over here.
Okay.
All these things going on, like our garage door was broken. There was something else going on, and like the meter guy reading, and it all happened at the same time with the kids here. And it reminded me of his moment when, you know, the vacuum cleaner's going crazy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
And all these things are happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that bad, but man, I stopped for a minute and go, I'm missing.
Yeah, there you go.
Official. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but now I was thinking about, like, you know, how many single moms are out there and all
right.
these kids that don't have dads.
Right.
Regularly. And that's one thing I say is a real plus for us that, you know, it's not just mom raising the kids. And it's so important to have a father's influence, although some wives and mothers may disagree.
I know. I think you're right, David. I think you're right. I really think you're right. I mean, I'm kind of with you because there are a lot of mothers out there that are raising kids by themselves, and I'm telling you, man, God bless them, because it's hard enough with two, you know. But I mean, just can imagine with one where you have no break, nobody to kind of step in and give you that moment, you know, or you can't run somewhere and leave them home because there's nobody else there. So you know, bless them, because it's hard enough with two.
Now, do you guys have a different sense of appreciation, say, now being a Mr. Mom, and I guess looking back as when you guys were kids, you know, when we were all kids, we kind of take our mom for granted, and now do you have a, you know, the first time meeting, you know, I guess, I don't know how often your mom, you know, visit you guys or you visit them, but do you have a different appreciation, sense of appreciation?
I would say so, yeah. You know, I realized I wasn't the best kid when, I just saw my mom this weekend. The one of the reasons why I got to pick on Tyrone a little bit, I guess, but I remember my anniversary because it's also my mom's birthday.
Oh, well, see, if you forget, you're in trouble.
we plan the wedding. It's on my mom's birthday, so if I mess up, I mess up twice.
You mess up twice?
Okay. I think he's smart right here, so I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write it down.
And I it's double time. I don't forget that day. I don't forget
that's
that
good,
day.
Man.
Yeah, I saw my mom this weekend, you know, and I do have more appreciation for her, definitely. You know, it's hard to prepare meals and getting kids to do chores is one of the biggest problems I have. You know, my oldest is 12 now. She's a big soccer player. She's almost as tall as me, which has really got me. I'm 5'7", and she's probably 5'4".
Wow.
5'3" now.
Yeah.
And she didn't get it from me.
Yeah.
My wife's 5'7", and her whole family's tall, and she said she's the shortest in her family. But, you know, the thing is, you know, it's I do have appreciation. I can't point to one specific thing because there's so many things that you do as a mother and, you know, as a Mr. Mom. I have a big respect for her that she went through a lot of things and a lot of it was my fault as a kid, you know. But you know, it is she did a great job and I'm trying to do the best I can, and you know, my wife's a big help. I mean, it's not like she doesn't do anything. It's not like that at all, you know. She still takes the kids to soccer practices and does shopping and spends a lot of time with the kids. So like I said, I can't take credit for my kids completely. For sure. The cooking part, I do take credit for. Yes, the 95% is mine.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, Dave. I do about the same. But I cook most of the meals and breakfast every morning, and I do the same.
When she cooks, I try not to make a big deal about it, but I do say something, honey, you're cooking.
You know? Wow! See, I'm not bold enough to do that. Maybe another year.
I don't know. Maybe maybe my wife and I just have that kind of relationship. We can jab at each other like that.
That's cute. After 19 years,
we better, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
like I said, the first year I was doing this, I think the stress was pretty high. Occasionally, I would say, "Okay, Marge, you're taking the kids. I'm going."
Right.
And you know, the last three years of this or so. I mean, the first year was the toughest, definitely, to get adjusted, and you know, and I can't say I'm fully adjusted because I feel like that at any moment, you know, with the economy the way it is, you know, you never know if I'm going to have to go back to work.
I just savor
every moment of this.
Right.
You know, and one of the things I got to say, I'm so glad that I didn't try to work at one of these newspapers full time because there's a lot of friends of mine.
Wow.
Jobs now.
About
anywhere between 15 to 20 photographers that have lost their jobs in this last year or two.
Wow.
Because of just cutbacks at newspapers.
Right.
And I'm guaranteeing you that I'd be one of the first ones that would have gone being the
newspaper.
Well, being the newest one coming in and so forth.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that you know, I talked about in my book is obviously about unconditional love, which is motherly love. And one of the examples actually I use in my book was I'm sure you guys have heard of him, now I forgot his name, but the guy that's with KISS, the group KISS, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons.
You know, in one of his shows, he had mentioned he was interviewed by someone, and he said that, you know, when I was growing up, my mom would often tell me that she would throw herself in front of a bus to save me.
Mm.
And says, I couldn't understand what the heck she was talking about. Mm. And he said that now that I'm a father, I realize what she was talking about then.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you guys go through that sort of, I guess, scenario in the sense that, you know, we talk about different sense of appreciation, you know, about unconditional love, motherly love. Had you not been there as a Mr. Mom, do you think you would have not really feel as connected, I guess, in some ways as you guys are feeling right now being a Mr. Mom?
I think you're right. I think if I would not have been home or spent that time with the kids, I probably don't think I would feel I wouldn't feel as close to him.
I mean, yeah, it is your kid, you know what I'm saying? But it's
right. But yeah, it changes it. Well, you know what else? And David, I don't know if this works for you, but when it comes to disciplining them now, to me, it's easier because you've developed this long relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
and when you do discipline them, then they're not just looking at you as the person that just disciplines him.
You just happen to show up and,
yes,
you know, like,
absolutely.
You've done other things.
We've done so many other things, and now it's time to discipline. You know, it's not one of those things that you discipline them, and then they don't want to speak to you anymore. You discipline, and then an hour later, you all are just playing, you know, you're playing again. But the point, you know, you were able to make the point and, you know, explain to them, this is why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it and not feel that there's no guilt in feeling maybe I should. No, you don't feel that because you should know better. Because we have been talking about this since, you know, especially mine, as we've been talking about this since you were able to understand.
Right.
So, you know, that you guys should know this.
In some ways, your discipline is coming from the left side of the
absolutely.
Equation.
Absolutely. Not even a question. Not even a question.
Yeah.
And but that's interesting to know because this is something that you can only experience that if you are in it. Because if not, you don't really truly have that sense of appreciation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because because you can hear someone talk about it,
right?
You know, unless you walk in that person's shoes, you really can't truly experience what that person is talking about.
Right.
So I think that is something that's very true because if you are involved with the, you know, it's like, how does it feel like holding someone's hand? But you've never hold someone's hand, you can't experience that.
Right.
And so you're there with your child at such a very young age, and you're there, and it's a tremendous amount of connection. And the good news, I guess, you know, in some ways, man has always sort of like shy away from that.
Right.
And now, you know, they're into it, and I think on the long haul, and this is coming back into that nuclear family that you want to have that, you know, that couple, so to speak, you know, input in it. That, and this has got nothing to do with, you know, just single dads out there or single moms out there, but this is you know, this is what I think it sort of balances the equation. And actually, it's not so much balancing the equation, it's actually making us guys or us, I mean, or women out there or whatever, until you really feel it, touch it, you really don't have that sense of appreciation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. You know, and it's neat because, like, when the kids come home from school, I pick them up from school usually, and then we get home and I have them do their homework. But I always have my wife check it because I'm terrible at checking homework. I'm always missing stuff. Missing stuff, and she'd be like, "Baby, did you check the homework?" Yeah. And I, you know,
Right.
And it's neat because she's much more. Much better at that side of it, which is, and that's where it comes together as a team. It's not just one person doing this, and we, you know, yeah, I may do most of the cooking, but thank God she does the homework.
Yeah, I gotta tell you the same thing here.
Yeah, yeah, they're counting on me to. I'm not. Daddy's not going to do that well. You know,
I can't believe some of the homework my kids have that we'll let my wife and I look at each other. We both graduated from college.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You wonder, you know, I'm looking at stuff that my sixth grader is doing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm stumped.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I said, well, wait till your mom gets home. See, it's a great set of. That's
a good one.
Your father gets home. Wait till your mama gets home. She'll take care of that.
Mama be home shortly, guys. Won't you go ahead and do what you can do until she gets here? Then we'll look over it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I say one of the things I really love about what's going on now, although some people look at it as a negative, I guess sometimes, but it looks like all of my kids are going to have braces.
Oh wow!
Yeah, you know, my first daughter, second daughter's got them now, and I noticed my son has got teeth coming down the bottom there, that his aren't straight. But I tell you what, in the last couple of years, it's been a wonderful experience because what I'm doing is, you know, the kids have to come out of school and go to the orthodontist and get individual time with them. And I was thinking, you know, Jake's not going to have braces, you know, and I'm not going to have this one-on-one time. What's the excuse I'm going to have to pull him out of school?
Right.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to have a reason. Right.
Because I want to do that. And now look at his teeth. I'm like, oh, they're crooked. Oh, they're crooked.
Oh, that's great.
Because now.
You're excited. Yeah.
Yes. And I got to say, it's weird, but it's true. I do want them around. Yes, I do want them around all the time if I can do it.
Oh, yeah.
But what's funny is, you know, I had this one-on-one time with Jordan. I still take her to orthodontist. She's her teeth are straight now, thank God. And Jordan or Haley now is had her braces on for I think about 2 months now, and you know, she has been going and visits. It's just great because it gives me one-on-one time. I try to plan it around lunchtime if I can, and then
have
like a little lunch together.
Right.
You know, and it just it gives us time that most dads and moms wouldn't have.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I look at, braces are expensive and time-consuming and, you know, difficult for children sometimes. I had braces when I was a kid. My wife did, too. But it's just a vehicle for this time. You know, it's like we have this time because of that. Now it looks like with my son, I'll be able to do the same thing.
Wow.
Really good to me.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys feel like y'all are better organizers right now?
I would say yes. I don't know about better organized, but better use my time. I can multitask a whole lot better now. Especially when they were young. I mean, I would have to put food on and change a diaper and be able to do all of that in between before something would boil. So, you know, you kind of just, you have that mental clock in your head that's always going off, and you kind of can squeeze stuff in between. And you try to. You know, sometimes we can over-try. You know, but at least we try.
Well, I don't know about organizing. My wife would be, if she's listening right now, it's probably laughing pretty good. because organizing, no, that's not my thing. I went on a shoot one time with the kids during the summer, a couple summers ago, and I get there without my camera gear. I get to the shoot, and I don't have my cameras because I'm so,
goodness.
Getting my kids ready, getting them in the van, making sure they have their blah, 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 whatever they need.
Right.
And then, and like I said, I get there and I realize I don't have my camera gear, and which is great. When I talked to the guy I was going to go shoot, he looked at me and saw the kids, and he's like,
Yes, yeah. Like, oh, so I see what that was.
Yeah, I went back, got my gear, came back, and had a really good relationship with this guy. He actually hired me to do freelance jobs after that. Maybe he felt
wonderful.
Sorry for me. I don't know.
Right. He's like, he needs help.
Yeah, he needs help, right, yeah. But, you know, that's crazy. But, yeah, organized, no. I wouldn't say I'm very good at that. It's really my wife's thing.
Wow.
She's very good at that. And, I mean, I do have to do some things. Like try to get the kids corralled into our van to get them to get them to school. You know, where's your folder, Jake? Where's your bag? Did you get the line? Where's your stuff? You know, if my wife doesn't take care of that stuff, you know.
Right, did you?
I'm in trouble, man.
Right.
I mean, my daughter, my oldest daughter now is doing this crossing guard thing, school guard.
Uh-huh.
And she has to be there at a certain time in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've made it once.
And blame it on Dad. There you go.
I mean, she gets there eventually, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're there, you know.
Yeah. Hey, honey, look, they're only just walking out now, you know.
Sort of yeah.
As long as the bell have not rung, we're
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like today, she had to be there at 7:45 on the dot because she's like watching the helping out with the field day stuff.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
She had to be there at 7:45. So she rode with my wife.
Yeah, she's like, I need to really get there on time, Dad. I'm gonna let mom take me today.
Yeah.
That wasn't too hard to figure out, was it?
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys have actually completely assimilated yourself. To that Mr. Mom role, you know.
You almost have to, and it's funny because like a couple of weeks ago, the kids were taking, because we would go, we have services on Friday night and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the family come on Friday night, and then I'll come on Sunday morning so they don't have to get up and be here
mm-hmm.
Sunday. So they were taking golf on
mm-hmm.
Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, do two services in the morning, would get home, and kind of be tired. And my wife said, babe, why don't you just go ahead and rest?
Right.
And they would leave to go to golf. And I'm telling you, about 10 minutes after they left, I was like, okay, I've got to go. It's like, you know what? You don't, and you really start appreciating, even though you spend all that time with it.
Right.
You really, like he was saying about going to the, it may seem like a small thing, going to the orthodontist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those moments that the kids remember.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those moments that mean the most, because I would, you know, I get something to eat, then I show up at the end, and me and my wife would say, babe, I thought you went. I say, no, I want to come and see.
Mm-hmm.
So I come and watch him putt and stuff, and I never forget this. One day we were there, and I went, and they were putting, then they would do the long drives, and they were working
mm-hmm.
on that. And so I was kind of working with my son, okay, man, when you swing, keep this. And he was about to swing and look back and say, Dad, I'm glad you came.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, shoot,
so
what you want?
There all the time.
You know, it's
yeah,
like
you
want
to be there. Yeah,
because you want it. You know, you want it. And so that, it's just one of those things. You just, you know, you just appreciate them. And at time, you realize how quickly it goes by, especially as you watch them grow.
Because
you know now, you know they want to be with you now. Because it's going to come a time.
Right.
They don't want.
They're not
going to want to be there. Oh, I'll go. No, you don't have to come. Yeah. Oh, can you just drop me off? Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. Well, let me answer this now. I know that Tyron, you've done it, you know, for 4 years, obviously, and now for you, David, 6 years. What is, if you have to single out, like, maybe one or two things, what is the biggest challenge? You know, challenges that you have really faced that, you know, like totally you didn't even anticipate that. And then, you know, like, wow, I got to deal with this now.
Well, that's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I mean, there's some monotony there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, like I said, I really appreciate my mom after that because,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's repetitive things you've got to do. And I tell you, nighttime issues, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Getting those kids to get bathed and get in bed.
Oh.
Like, you know, I think of Bill Cosby's old program.
The Huxtables. Yeah, the Huxtables.
Oh
yeah.
No. He had a stand up. He did before.
Oh
that.
Yeah. Oh, I love the stand up.
I can't remember it now. We just listened to it, watched it a couple months ago. And you know, getting your kids to the in the tub or getting them in and out. Now they're old
mm-hmm.
enough they can do it themselves, but they won't.
Yeah.
Unless you are
yeah.
right there, or my wife's right there to get them. Okay, look, what's the deal? Just get in there. The water's running.
Right.
You
right,
know what?
Right.
What else do you need? You know, here's your towel. Get in there. And, you know, I mean, and then getting my other daughter, my second daughter, Haley. She just won't get out of the shower. Okay, you know, she'll be in there forever.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you know, it, that's a challenge, and there's a monotony there. But it's like I don't look forward to that moment that much.
right.
You know, but I'll tell you what. I always tell. I was actually just telling my mom this now that about 9 o'clock at night is when I'm really tired.
Because
that's about
the
time all the kids get in bed, and I could just fall asleep.
Right, you could just use like, okay, my time to go to bed. Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's like, and my mom and my wife are probably telling me it's because the stress level just dropped.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, you're
now you can relax. Yeah, now you can breathe. Right.
And now you have a chance, and you're sitting there. I'm like, oh man, I could fall asleep right now. You know, all the kids are in bed.
Right.
You know, now I understand. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard moment, but you know, seeing the kids go to school for the first time, I thought I'd be real emotional about it.
Right.
You know, there is some emotion there, but it's so nice that to see that they're growing up doing
I know.
Yeah. That's a big I mean, it's a plus and a minus, because you said, like I said, it's good and bad, because you're not going to be with them as much.
Right, you're not going to be you're not going to be with them as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, how about you, Tyron?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking, I really don't, because, well, I think maybe the challenge was, because my wife and I, when we were home, we never watched TV until the kids would go to bed.
I see. Okay.
You know, so we would kind of, you know, we would do with them and play with them and read and clown, you know, and then when they went to bed, then we would watch our shows. So I would have VCRs set up to record whatever we want to watch.
Right.
So when they went to bed, we can watch it when they would go to bed. So now the cool thing with DVRs, you know, we just record stuff, and we still don't, you know, maybe we'll let them watch cartoons if they're doing something, or we're all getting it back and play. But we've never really sat and watched TV, like a football. Oh, you can be, the house is a football house. Any sports, we're just sports people.
Right.
You know, but just regular, you know, so we never, so even now we'll watch stuff after the kids go to bed, and we kind of have a time, okay, 7:30. Everybody start. Go. Mm-hmm. Usually, I get them home from school. Mm-hmm. They do their homework, and I say, okay, guys, at 5 o'clock, I need you to take your bath. They go take their bath, and while they're taking the bath, then I'll get dinner ready. And when they finish with taking their bath, then they'll eat, and then they'll have more time to play. And like they have days they play Wii, like today, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
So then they'll play Wii, like both of them will play Wii until like 7:30. I say, okay, guys, time for bed.
Right.
And then bedtime. Now, this is it with ours. Okay, go to bed, yes. Go brush your teeth, get in the bed. And then they're up for another hour because they're talking clown the whole time.
Right.
It's like, okay. And we kind of look at each other. Because at first, my wife and I would say, okay, they need to go to bed.
Right.
You know, and then one day it hits us, you know what? They're not going to have this time much. So, you know, we just kind of let them go. They'll kind of sing themselves to sleep. And then, you know. You know, and just let them go to sleep.
How about the looking back, you know, in the experience that y'all have had 4 and 6 years respectively, right here? What would be the biggest reward if that's one thing that you could think about that really, like, wow, we never thought about it, you know? Because we know, like, say for example, being too analytical here, like say we run a race to win the trophy, but the fact that you guys embrace this and in the 4 to 6 years of experiences that you all have had, what was the single most rewarding thing that you got out of it that you never really expected to have?
Gosh,
David, you want to go first?
Yeah, you
can
give me the challenge you want.
Oh, no. I'll go. No, because you've been getting the show, then I'll go. You know, I think the thing to me, the rewarding thing to me, even now, is when people are around our kids. And one of the things I say, your kids are so well behaved. Oh, your kids are so, you know, oh, you have great kids. Oh, people that love babysitting our kids.
Right.
Loves being around them, because we've had time to kind of instill what we expect of them. Mm-hmm. And we've done it. We've had the time to do it in love. So, it changes the way that it's taught, and they have a better understanding of it. And then especially when somebody that don't know you, or we've been in a restaurant and we've had people leave the restaurant, come up to us and say, okay, your kids are so well behaved.
Right.
And, you know, we all just sitting around the table, just to me, that's real rewarding. And that's one of those things that I was like, okay, it was worth it. You know, it was worth it.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, that has happened for us, but I usually look at the people and say, are you talking about my kids?
moment, like, say, I don't know whose kids they are. You know, I just happen to stand right here. You know.
Kids,
yeah, yeah, you know, it's like, hey, do I look like them, or do they look like me, you know?
I don't know who they are. I don't know those kids.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I don't know. I mean, there's the rewarding moments. I mean, one thing that, like, my son now, he's 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I have a choice at night. If he's watching TV, let's say, in our living room, my wife's in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
This is something that's come up late. He says, Daddy, come sit with me. Come cuddle with me right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a choice of going to sit with my son or sit with my wife.
Right, right.
Now, I've been with my son a little longer, you know,
right.
during the day. You know, I get him from school beforehand. And my wife always looks at me like, go sit with him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often, how many times is that going to happen?
Yeah, I see. Sometimes, that's one of those moments, man. You,
yeah.
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 You take
and,
that.
And, people talk about quality time, and they talk about
right.
I talk about quantity time.
Right.
Yeah,
it's you know, quality time is great, you know, but
mm-hmm.
it's not the same as
quantity.
Absolutely,
being there at any moment when your kid needs you. I get calls on the phone from my sweet daughter Haley,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how she gets the phone away from her teacher at
mm-hmm.
school, but she does. And I'll get a call from Ditto Elementary, and they'll say, and it'll be Haley saying, Daddy. I forgot my retainer. I think I left it on the table.
Yeah.
I need it. Can you get it for me? And
mm-hmm.
my older daughter, Jordan, will call doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she forgot her shoes. She needs it for track today because she's
mm-hmm.
going to be outside doing this. You know, I can't point to one thing, but I'm there for that.
Yeah.
Quality time wouldn't do that. Quantity time does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
and there's so many moments. Like I want to bring out one really, really great
mm-hmm.
moment.
Mm-hmm.
Jake was just 4 years old. He was on a shoot with me in Fort Worth, shooting a picture of Bobby Bragg, and he's a big baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
89 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Used to coach and play in the 40s and 50s in
mm-hmm.
professional baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 4 years old. I'm setting up my little light to shoot, and and he asked, Jake asked me, hey, I let me shoot this one. He's 4 years old. And he wants to shoot this one. And I look at him like, okay.
Yeah.
And I just hand him my camera. You know, it's pretty heavy. It's about as big as his head.
Right, right.
You know? And it's
yeah.
big. And
uh-huh.
he holds it up. I hold the light for him, my little
yeah.
flash, handheld flash. He shoots 6 or 8 pictures of this guy who can't smile for a 4 year old. I mean, who isn't going to smile for a 4 year old?
Right, exactly.
And then I shoot 3 other poses, and
yeah.
I send in these 3 or 4 different
mm-hmm.
pictures. And I don't tell the editors that one of them was shot by my 4 year old. Okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I call in later and I find out they picked his photo.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so he gets published in the Dallas Business Journal. Jake
oh,
Pellerin,
I see that's cool.
Yeah,
that
Jake
cool,
Pellerin
yeah.
right there on the byline.
Yeah.
And everyone is just so excited, you know, and people
mm-hmm.
ask me, so did he get the money for that?
There you go, there you go.
And I'm like,
what do you mean?
Indirectly, indirectly, yeah.
Yeah,
it was
indirectly.
Indirectly, he got it, absolutely.
He got an ice cream cone out of it.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Indirectly,
you
got it.
But it's great. Now he has that, you know, I have that story. He's 4 years old, gets published. He beat me by 11 years. I was
right.
And now, and what's great is that, you know, that's a moment that, you know, how could I do that if I wasn't a Mr. Mom?
Absolutely.
You know, and about that same a year or two before that, when he was about 1, maybe 18 months old, we went to a dude ranch on their off day.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, it's a dude ranch up in Ponder, Texas, on a
mm-hmm.
Monday, I think it was. And the kids, all 3 of them, got to walk around this dude ranch and with not wild ponies, but ponies that just wander around the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had my 2 girls and my boy there. And it was a wonderful experience for them. They had, like, this great adventure.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to pet these ponies and walk around with them and see all these great things and play on this huge playground all by themselves just, you know, while I was shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful experience for them. We have a great picture of my my oldest daughter, like, walking after a pony who's trying to get away from her. Like, you know, I don't want this kid to after me.
Yeah, please. Please save me.
Yeah. Who's this kid? And, you know, and it was a great time. It was a wonderful time, and it's something that I could have never done
mm-hmm.
working for if I'd been a full-time photographer at the time. There's no way you can take a
kid right.
like that.
Right.
And it's just been a wonderful time. I mean, those are 2 highlights, you know, and I have highlights every day. Right. You know, I have good moments like I found out, like I said, Jake's going to need braces.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Most people might say, no. Well,
yeah, exactly.
I need time with my kid.
Exactly.
That I'm
right.
missing now. And when he went
right.
off to school, you know, I'm home. I remember coming home the first day by myself, you know, without any kids with me, and that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange, and I'm like, wow, what am I going to do now? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Who am I? Look, it's almost like, who am I without them?
I'm walking around. I mean, I'm at the house now. You know, it's me and two dogs and two cats.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this now. You know, I mean, it's evident that you guys have, you know, tremendous bonding, you know, those moments. And this is the kind of thing that we talk about, I think, living in the now versus we always tend to think about the future and the past. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, living in the now, that makes a big difference. Is that, and you can only do that if it's a quantity time, like your focus at the present
right.
moment. Looking back, we only have a few minutes right here. I think about 4 minutes left. Real quick, Ray, I do want to ask one quick question before we go to the last part of this show. Is now that you've spent so much time with your kids, do they come to you instead of to your wife for, you know, like if there's something wrong with them or something something that they want to ask questions about, you know, like, you know how we would run to, you guys grew up and you know how we run to mom?
Right.
Now, do they run to you first, the first person?
You know, I'm going to answer quick before David does. I think by dads being able to make that bond, I think you automatically have a connection to mom,
mm-hmm.
but I think it just widens that connection with dad. So it doesn't matter which one they go to, because like ours, it's so funny, my two, they would have trouble. They would see us, and they'll say, dad, and they'll call us either one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It didn't, you know, so I think because we were able to have that, because moms automatically almost have that bond, that closeness. But
yeah.
for dads to do that, I think that gives us a chance to know what that feels like.
Okay.
And so I think they would go to, they feel comfortable going to either one.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
And I have the same experience, almost identical experience. My daughter, Haley, for example, will
mm-hmm.
say, Dad.
Yeah, they mainly
yeah.
do it all, and
yeah.
it's the cutest thing, cause,
right.
and we're like, Dad, I'm sorry. You know, but it was like, you have to be sorry. It's almost to them,
right.
it's the same, you know, it's the same person. And I think that's cool.
It's like we're playing both roles anyway. I mean,
right. absolutely, absolutely.
She's a disciplinarian too.
Yes.
You know, she does. I mean, we have many shared responsibilities in this kind of situation, and most marriages do, I'm sure. But yeah, my kids will come and they'll say, Dad, or I mean, Mom, or Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll do it all the time.
All the time.
I was kind of disappointed the other day that Haley wanted. She had fallen out of our tripped over my son in getting out of the minivan, and which is another experience getting a minivan and being a soccer mom and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's me now.
I'm gonna fight that. I'm gonna fight that, David. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna fight that tooth and nail. So
well, I tried, but I'll tell you what. I went from the little Civic four door to the Toyota minivan, and
right.
at first I was just gritting my teeth, man. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
And
no
you
way.
Love it.
And now I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great
yeah.
thing to have. And,
yeah.
and it's also a truck too. You got to think of it as a truck because we
right.
put so much in that back.
Exactly.
We put grass in the back when we were putting down new sod. We put all kinds of stuff in there. So I try to think of it as a truck, but it's not a truck.
Is
that? Okay. but you know, yeah, that was a hard one. But you know, anyway, what happened is my daughter had tripped. She hit her knee,
mm-hmm.
and when she got up, she said, "Mommy," first. And I was kind of, it didn't really hurt, but I was like, wow, you know, that's okay.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
but I thought she would want me. Mommy's not around.
Right.
me with the kids here.
Right.
But, it's a shared thing, you know, and if it wasn't, that wouldn't be right. I mean, it's
right.
a shared thing.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe that's one thing my wife was concerned about, that, you know, I'm spending so much time with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to land up being like me.
right.
You know, and I'm like, there's a lot of mannerisms now that we will not get into.
Right.
They have that they would not have had.
If they would have been.
Yeah. And we're not going to discuss those.
Right. right.
But I understand. But that's good, though. I think what happens here, I think, guys, you know, inevitably, I think you guys realize that with quantity comes how you react, how you behave, because
right.
they are going to be eventually looking at you as the role model.
Right.
So I think, you know, that's very, very important here. And so, I mean, Guys, I really appreciate your sharing the time with me this morning. It's been wonderful.
Oh, man, thank you
so much for you guys
for
being on. I think the listeners have a great time listening to all the things that you have to talk about, and certainly y'all are role models for us guys right here, you know, to start looking at being a Mr. Mom from a totally different perspective. So I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. And I need to wrap up the show right here by just telling you guys a little bit about, to all you listeners, please join us next week. Have a great show in closing out Celebrating Mother's Day special. Next week's topic is Blended Family, Unconditional Love, If There's a Will, There's a Way. And my guest is Shirley Dudley from North Carolina. So until then, have a great week and talk to you guys next Tuesday. Guys, okay. Thank you so much, okay?
Hey,
thank
John,
you.
Thank you for having us on. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, really appreciate it, man. What a blessing.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hey, take care again.